Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, this morning the government launched the Accelerating Infrastructure Task Force report. The plan, which will include 30 actions to aid, to speed up and to deliver critical infrastructure, is part of the government's attempt to keep pace with the demands of economic and population growth in Ireland. Well, leading all of this is Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, who joins me now here in studio. Minister, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. It is a huge document, but I got the sense from reading it that what is now required is this huge cultural shift when it comes to delivering infrastructure in this country, not just from the public, but from the regulators, from civil servants and from every minister that's involved in this task.
Absolutely correct. And look, people across the country listening in this evening are fed up hearing about projects on lists and frustrated with timelines which have doubled in the last 20 years. And that's why reform has to be at the centre of what we do in the next 12 months as a government. We've put the investment in place, but people want to see quicker delivery. And that means an absolute overhaul of our systems. It means a cultural change within the public service, but also reforming regulation in the Irish economy. And we've built up a lot of processes, a lot of structures and layers which are too slow. And that's all feeding into a risk aversion. And that's why we're going to set out a positive statement on increasing the risk appetite in the public service, bringing through legislative reforms to place delivery at the centre of infrastructure over the next number of years. And we've built an evidence base which cumulatively will cut years off infrastructure projects. And the measure of this in the years to come will be significantly reducing the timelines, but also shifting the culture towards delivery. And I'm confident in the actions that we've set out here and the focus on reform that this can make a real difference in building momentum and confidence in delivery. And I think the wider feedback we've received today reflects that.
But I remember Darragh O'Brien, when he was Minister for Housing, you know, asking all of the agencies of the state to sort of look within their own land portfolios and to see, was there land there that they could put forward that would be suitable for housing? And there was huge pushback from all of those agencies. Are there going to be consequences, I suppose, or penalties if those agencies, if those departments fail to cooperate here?
Well, there's a couple of things. So first of all, we're going to have legislative change to put a duty to cooperate on agencies, regulators and the broader systems that exist within the state. An optional opt-in to, in terms of cooperation to the government's plan, isn't acceptable. And that's why reforming structures or agencies would be critical. But also, I hold, as Public Expenditure Minister, the responsibility for all expenditure across the state. And a significant portion of that relates to the departments or agencies that you refer to. So I'll change and amend sanction requests or hold them back if I don't see cooperation and infrastructure delivery. So it's a two-way street. For me, it's about delivery, it's about reform, and it's about follow-through. And if there isn't cooperation, then that will have an impact on sanctioning, but also a need for me then to have a deeper dive into a particular agency that isn't on board with these government's plans. Government has agreed all 30 actions today.
People might be astonished to hear that level of sort of intervention, indeed a bit of a stick approach, is necessary.
Well, I think it is. I mean, we've seen delays going on for too long across many areas, and we've heard that from utilities who've been part of our infrastructure task force, where there's been drift or a slow pace in terms of maybe getting land, getting consents. And part of that is how we've built a complex regulatory landscape, all on an individual basis, created for good reason. But we do need to delayer, simplify and build systems that are much more functional in the context of delivery.
And it is complex. I mean, in terms of regulators, there are now 90 regulators in this country. If you look at something like the Greater Dublin Drainage Project, that extremely important sewage project for the Greater Dublin area, it had to go through 9 regulators. Mm. 9 regulators. I mean, you talk there about maybe rationalising or simplifying. I think people will be thinking, hold on, we just need a cull here. They're overlapping. So they're conflicting with each other.
What we're going to do is, I mean, if a cull is required in a particular instance or a restructuring or a rationalisation is required, we'll do that. But we're not just saying that because of a need for a cull. The focus here is on how do we make the regulatory models or systems that exist quicker, faster, and how do we, for
leaner,
example...
Leaner, more efficient.
Absolutely, and that's at the centre of this. And also, for example, we've got sequential processes which exist where the next stage can't commence unless you have a permission in the previous stage. That's going to change. So where possible in terms of licensing, permits, we're going to have parallel processes to cut timelines across the infrastructure life cycle. Also putting discipline on government departments and agencies. If they're, say, developing a project in terms of design, putting discipline on the timelines it takes to do that, bring a business case to government. We're cutting the number of business cases or the number of approval gates which exist in terms of infrastructure guidelines. Again, all to focus on saving time. And what we've done here is we've taken a forensic look at this infrastructure life cycle from someone thinking about a project all the way to a shovel in the ground and how we can cut time in every instance. And that's been the central focus here. How do we narrow our infrastructure gap? We're putting the investment in place as a government and we want to really drive delivery, get it done and make it happen. And
Will this new plan that you're talking about here, will this have any impact? Will this speed up the delivery of that drainage project or Metrolink, for example? Or is it not going to look at those plans?
All projects are on the table. So we're going to bring through a critical infrastructure bill early next year. And that's all about prioritising critical projects. Greater Dublin Drainage, absolutely critical project. There's a lot of energy proposals that the ESB and others have, which are absolutely essential to unlock the supply of housing and also industry in parts of our country. So, for example, Metrolink is in a judicial review process at the moment. But it is about, you know, there's lots of pipeline of projects on the way in the middle of an existing process which we need to speed up, and this
won't necessarily work on those projects, it's more future projects.
It may, depending on where they are when we introduce particular legislation, but we, this is about future-proofing infrastructure delivery and helping projects at where they currently sit speeding through the infrastructure life cycle.
Okay, let me talk about that critical infrastructure bill that you say is going to be introduced that will give emergency powers for infrastructure that is, of course, deemed critical. Who will decide what's critical?
Yeah.
And what powers? I mean, does that mean the end of judicial review, for example, for those projects?
We're going to reform judicial reviews, so we're changing the environmental legal cost scheme. Minister Dara O'Brien published a proposal on that today, and that's about capping fees and related to environmental costs. We want to narrow the standing for judicial reviews.
And we'll come back to the judicial review issue, specifically around the critical infrastructure.
Yeah, so that'll be informed with your utilities, for example, like the Greater Dublin Drainage is one example. We've critical energy projects with the ESB and AirGrid have, which are absolutely essential to delivery of housing and growth across our economy. So it's mainly in energy, water and transport. They're the foundations that grow communities and build prosperity across our country, and that's where we have a real deficit.
I'm trying to get a sense of who's the final say on whether a project is critical or not.
It'll be within government. We'll make a decision on that when we publish the bill in discussions with the respective utilities on critical infrastructure, and it's mainly across the three areas that I've mentioned in energy, transport and water infrastructure.
And what will it allow you to do?
So it will fast track an infrastructure project all the way through the development life cycle, prioritise the decisions around the consents, the licensing, the planning permissions to shorten the timeframe. The emergency powers obviously has a higher threshold, and it's about in some instances circumventing existing processes where there's an absolute necessity to accelerate a project. So we have the Critical Infrastructure Bill is more all-encompassing, and the emergency powers gives additional scope to circumvent and bypass certain processes. But we're also trying to remove certain processes that exist presently for all infrastructure projects.
Sorry to cut across you, Minister. I'm just looking to get a sense of what those projects would be, those emergency powers would be used for.
For example, you'll have, for emergency powers, that will come down to, that'll have to be that'll be an informed decision when we've developed the legislation on what's required at that point of time. We may have projects, for example, which have gone through planning and gotten planning permission, which may not be required. But it would centre around those three particular areas, our grid, our energy system, energy generation, which the ESB are responsible for, critical water infrastructure in terms of water supply and wastewater infrastructure, and also some of the critical transport projects, which in many instances are getting delayed in endless process.
All of this is going to require legislation. There's a number of pieces of legislation required here, and drafting that legislation has been always very time consuming. We saw how long the latest planning legislation took to get through the Dáil. How long is that all going to take, and how or what are you going to do about the challenges to that legislation, which will inevitably be put forward by members of the public?
So look, there's going to be narrow interests, vested interests, which don't like the fact that we're rebalancing rights in the context of judicial reviews. But the government has to do the right thing in the public interest, in the common interest, to really drive the social and economic infrastructure that's critical for communities across the country. The villages that are waiting on a wastewater treatment plant to build more homes, the raw sewage that might be going into river that's waiting on that particular plant. You've got the homes which we want to deliver, which is held back by that infrastructure in terms of transport projects or roads. And people, you saw the frustration the last week with judicial review taken on the Metrolink. Total frustration across communities to see a few residents block a major project for the Irish state. So look, my view is we have to do the right thing. We have to confront head on anyone who seeks to question or litigate against legislation that we introduce. But that shouldn't shirk us from doing the right thing in rebalancing rights, in focusing on driving delivery, and that's my absolute focus over the next number of months.
So if you look at the changes that you're bringing forward in terms of judicial review, once those changes are brought in, would those 20 residents in Ranelagh not be in a position then to bring a judicial review against the Metrolink?
So look, that would be a matter, like obviously someone could seek to make an application, but that would be a matter then for the judge to make a decision. I don't know the facts, specific facts relating to their particular case, but it's to narrow the room for people to take judicial reviews, also to cap the costs so we reduce legal fees. They're a multiple of many of, for example, the UK. And then more generally, it's to give absolute legislative direction and prioritisation around critical infrastructure, so there's clarity for the courts about the government's prerogative and direction relating to critical infrastructure as it relates to other legislation.
Okay, I just want to look at some of the timelines here that have brought us to this place. Water infrastructure projects, small ones, taking 7 to 10 years. Electricity substations, up to 8.5 years. Road projects, taking up to 15 years. How has the government, how has Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil allowed us to get to this point?
Well, look, as I've said earlier, there's regulatory systems which are introduced, which may have been well intentioned at the time, but the complexity, the fragmentation, and the overlapping nature of process has delayed it, and also the level of intervention in the courts has also kind of permeated risk aversion throughout the system, where in some instances you've got thousands of pages of documentation being produced because of the people trying to mitigate the risk of a particular case being taken or judicial review being taken in terms of the procedural outworking of that. So this is a real focus on reform, cutting timelines, and we've looked at every element of the project life cycle to really drive reform and delivery and build momentum in infrastructure.
Okay, just one final question, because we're talking about it on the programme, and that's the energy credit debate that was in the Dáil today. Bills this year higher than last year. Families are going to have to find an extra €321, and the government was aware of this when it was drafting the budget. I mean, I think it really is going to draw into focus, I suppose, the cynicism of the budget last year coming into an election that helped family with these bills, and this year that doesn't, because the government isn't facing any consequences.
So that's not the case. So we were very clear from when this government was formed that we would not have temporary one-off interventions being made again, that everything we wanted to do from a budgetary and fiscal perspective was to be sustainable, affordable and permanent. And we made targeted interventions focused on child poverty and on the lowest two income deciles. And that's why we've increased the fuel allowance and we've also broadened the eligibility for fuel allowance.
But I'm talking about ordinary working families aren't entitled to those.
That's why we made a permanent reduction to the VAT, for example, on gas and electricity from 13.5% to 9%. That has a full year cost of over €200 million. So there's a combination of measures taken in the budget to support
families.
But
will it hurt people, I suppose, as they look at the corporation tax receipts coming in to the end of November, up 8.2% on last year, 97 billion. And they'll say, this government's swimming in money and they couldn't help me pay my winter bills?
We look, I know everyone listening sees kind of headlines around corporation tax, but there's, to be clear with people, there's volatility and risk around the concentration of corporation tax, and we're committed to managing the long-term prosperity and growth of the Irish economy by putting aside a lot of the windfall receipts we're receiving. That's by the end of next year we'll have 24 billion euros set aside. We're fronting up to investment in capital infrastructure, which in housing and energy and water and transport infrastructure, to build the prosperity of communities and ensure we've the long-term growth of jobs in the economy. And it is about, you know, making the right long-term decisions for Ireland, protecting our economy, building growth, and also, you know, targeting interventions where appropriate. And that's why we've made supports available for a fuel allowance and other measures as well.
All right. Minister Jack Chambers, thank you for speaking to us on The Hard Shoulder.
Thanks, Ciara.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.